pratique. Moi, je ne l'ai pas écrit.
Bonjour à tout le monde.
Good morning, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to those journalists as well who are in their offices and watching via the European Parliament's web streaming. I decided to make the San Jose articles public today in the European Parliament. It was drawn up 30 years ago by an international group of committed experts involved in science, law, jurisprudence and legislative work at all institutional levels. Our aim is to raise public awareness and inform the public about the right to life. The first of 9 San Jose articles stipulates it's a scientific fact that a new human life starts at the moment of conception. On the 18th of October 2011, this was recognized in the community acquis. The European Court of Justice indeed ruled that human life starts at the moment of conception. Yesterday, during the oral questions to the European Commission, Commissioner Barnier recognized that the European Commission's services can still not correctly assess as yet the political consequences of this judgment of the court. But it's quite clear that we are now bound to protect the development of the life of future citizens from the moment of their conception. This judgment has to be taken into account in terms of the links between member states within meetings as well. It also needs to be respected in future accession negotiations. Also, it will need to be respected in the links with third countries and should not be neglected when the joint position of the EU is established within the UN and when we're looking at development aid. And the Commission now has a duty vis-à-vis human life. The San Jose Articles are our toolbox in order to implement this. The San Jose Articles should provide support for the public awareness-raising action. All those colleagues who support us are encouraged to sign the articles. And I would now like to give the floor to Gregor Pupping, who is the director of the European Centre for Law and Justice here in Strasbourg. Thank you, madam. Thank you very much indeed to the European Parliament for having organised this press conference today in order to inform you and introduce the San Jose Articles. The content of these articles is indeed in line with the judgment from the European Court of Justice on patents on embryos. So I think that the press conference is very important in terms of this today. The text of the San Jose Articles that we're going to introduce you to was established in March. This process started some months ago. And when you compare this with the Luxembourg ruling, you will see that the views and the analysis actually really do coincide. What I want to make quite clear to you is that this text, San Jose, is not a simple stance. It's not a statement. And it's not a political statement. It's not an affirmation. It's not an opinion. It's everything apart from that. The aim of this text is to provide an analysis of the real situation. So it's not an ideological text or a political text. It's a text which has been drawn up by scientists, people from medical circles, people from legal circles in the universities, and also some politicians or diplomats who are conversant with this debate at international level. So the aim of this text is, as far as possible, to reflect the real situation of the facts and law as far as life is concerned. And it's because this text seeks the truth behind this situation of law and life. It is in line, in compliance with the judgment from Luxembourg, because both of them, that judgment and this text, are striving for the same end, objectively, in other words, to establish what is the real situation in terms of law and the real situation of the development of human life at the embryonic stage. So they both share this view that life starts at conception, and you cannot simply stop, halt that process on an arbitrary basis to establish a date, in other words, as of when you would change reality. So the Luxembourg judgment and the San Jose text are in compliance because they share the same point of view, which aims to be as objective and scientific as possible in terms of the scientific facts and in terms of the law. The Luxembourg judgment, as these articles have been long discussed and continue to be discussed, there is a trend, and that is why the articles were drawn up, a trend to try and prompt discussion at international level, which is basically established on a subjective view of science, law, and individual freedom. Which means that there is a political and ideological discussion on abortion, which clashed, I would say, with existing provisions and law, and which, well, is striving within the UN, within its committees, here in Strasbourg as well, in the court. It's trying to actually speak out against the truth of those international standards and scientific community, and bring in a more subjective view which would allow the progressive introduction of a type of right to abortion. So on the one hand, you have this very clear political and ideological will to use international mechanisms to bring in a presumed right to abortion by amending and introducing subjective criteria or thresholds within the development of life from conception through to birth. And on the other hand, there's another trend which tries to objectively see the reality of the situation, both legally and objectively. Now, personally, I was involved in drawing up these articles, and in terms of their contents, the only point I want to try and get across to you is the following. Basically, there are people who claim the right, an autonomous right to abortion. As a legal expert, and I'm very familiar with the case law of the Court of Human Rights, and it was on that basis that I was involved in drafting these texts. The fundamental point which has to be borne in mind in order to understand this issue of the protection of life relates to the European Convention on the Protection of Human Rights, and it is as follows. First and foremost, I think we need to set aside the idea that there is this autonomous right to abortion in the convention. The court stated that quite clearly, that there is no right to abortion based on the convention. It's based either on the right to life or on the private life, Article 8 of people. It doesn't exist. What does exist is this requirement for states to protect life. All states are required to protect life on the basis of Article 2 of the convention, and that requirement could be interpreted by the convention or judges in a relatively broad manner, but the basis for this requirement on states relating to abortion and the protection of life is this requirement to protect life, full stop. That requirement can then be modulated, the scope of this positive requirement can be modulated within the framework of what we call the margin of assessment. A state is not required to pull out all the stops to save someone who is affected by a serious illness, for example. There are limits there. Now, in various different cases, the court ruled that a state would not be required to protect life right from the beginning. But this also affects the end of life with euthanasia as well. But in terms of the fundamental principle, when you look at the convention and in terms of international human rights, states are always required to protect life. And that's a principle that cannot be infringed. So there is this requirement to protect life. Within that, the state may impose certain limits. But those limits themselves are not limitless, which means that if a state in Europe decides that it will authorize abortion, as the court has stated very often, it has to be done in the respect of other interests, concurrent interests. In other words, it has to respect, for example, the interests of society. The Council of Europe's Parliamentary Assembly recently adopted an agreement which said that it would ban selective abortion based on gender. So all European states, if within that range of assessment they opt to authorise abortion, they can only do that as far as the question of this selective abortion based on gender. There are limits. You know, it links up with the right of mothers, fathers. The court has also recognised the importance of respecting morals, ethics in certain countries and so on and so forth. So this idea, according to which there is an autonomous basic right to abortion, is strictly incompatible with the very basis for the system for the protection of human rights as it exists here in Strasbourg under this convention and in other international instruments as well, because all these international instruments are based on the idea that the state is required to protect. Human life.
Thank you very much. I'll give the floor to Veresliska, and he is going to give you some further information about this.
Be here with you today. There's not much more to say that my colleague Gregor hasn't already elaborated on. It's clear, not just from the San Jose articles, but just from international law, that there is no international human right to abortion. We must recall the history of where these fundamental human rights documents came from, the European Convention, the Declaration of Human Rights, etc., and why in all of these documents the right to life has a primary spot, always at the top or near the top. And that's because of the totalitarianism that we as a global family lived through during World War I and World War II. Yet in 2011, we find that the most dangerous place still for a child is in their mother's womb, that we still have forced abortion in the world. We have abortion targeting the disabled. We have sex-selected abortion, where little girls are most targeted in their mother's womb. We've forgotten that the principle of respect for subsidiarity and national sovereignty requires us to respect the rights of member states to protect children from conception, until natural death, that the European Court of Human Rights elaborated this recently in its decision in ABC v. Ireland at the Grand Chamber level. It reiterated its decision in Vaux v. France. Of course, just last week, the European Court of Justice ruled that a fertilized embryo is a human being. This is something that the European Patent Office had already put in place several years ago, so this isn't anything new. It's a restatement of international law. Yet, independent states are still fighting tooth and nail to protect their right to maintain laws protecting life, and that's unacceptable. And that's why the San Jose Articles are so important, because it reminds us of what the black letter law says, what the spirit of the treaty law says, and that we cannot allow the life position to be bullied any longer, because it's not the law. Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, Roger.
Thank you very much, Roger. And now we do have a few minutes left for your questions.
Okay. Alors, si ça n'a pas le cas.
Well, if there are no questions, there is one question. Go ahead, sir.
Comment expliquer au vu de différents...
Now, given the information that you've given us, and some of what you've said isn't new, when we think about where life starts, how can you explain the abuses or we have seen over previous years? How can you explain that we're at the situation where we are now in relation to the right to life? How can you explain what has happened? Why is it how it is now? Why is this... why is there this wish to control life or to be the master of it ideologically?
Alors, je ne sais pas si je vais...
Well, I don't know whether I'll be able to answer your question to your satisfaction, but indeed, and it's quite philosophical, of course, but there is the law, but behind that there is the anthropological conception of, or understanding of life... And we have the human rights, the convention. Following the Second World War, and you've got on the one hand the anthropological view, the Enlightenment and tradition is there as well, and modernity, that's reflected as well in that. But now we are seeing more of an emphasis on individualism and technology, and how mankind is seen has changed, the anthropological view has changed and has become rather more natural. Human beings are seen less as being natural beings, and therefore it is felt that law should be a system that increases individual freedom, but going against our own very nature. That's the idea. It's no longer a case of respecting the nature of mankind, but changing it. And law would be used, it is said, to help ensure that freedom. But that, of course, is can be disastrous and is very ideological. But perhaps more generally, what I could say is that in terms of the law, legislation... the gradual or progressive recognition of this right to a life in relation to abortion, there is this interaction between soft law and the conventions. On the one hand, you have the text as it is, the convention, a law that imposes certain standards, and on the other side, upstream of that, or rather downstream of that, you've got the standards that are drawn up gradually to fit into that body of law. So there's an interaction between the two, but what we have now... United Nations and other international organisations, you have... quite a lot of the staff working for these organisations, in fact, who are trying and in good faith, I would say, trying to get the soft law to develop by integrating new rights or pseudo rights, like this right to abortion. So you've got the soft law and the hard law, the conventions, and this interaction is what is leading to all the battles and struggles going on at the moment, the clashes. You have these international organizations that don't have any legislative authority, that can't develop standards themselves, but are nonetheless taking the liberty of expressing their positions. And they've got soft law, and then the tendency is for them to try and get it to become hard law. And then that might be accepted. The soft law of the United Nations or of Strasbourg might then become acceptable, and people will then believe what the experts are saying. So yeah, and these articles are now, these San Jose articles are a reply to that, to this ideology, but seeing it in the way that we believe. Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much. If there are no further questions, and I see no further questions, I would like to thank you very much for coming here, and I wish you a very good day. Thanks to the interpreters.